carry on with our Bible study theme in Grace's Remedy for Indwelling Sin. Grace's Remedy for Indwelling Sin. It's a short series, but I think it's a needful one. Previously, we looked at the Bible, didn't we, as being a means of grace to combat indwelling sin in our life. And previously, before that, we looked at the local church as being a means of grace to combat and fight indwelling sin in our life. Those means that God has given us in order to keep us on the straight and narrow, as it were. Today, we're looking at prayer as being a means of grace. And we just finished a lovely prayer meeting. And prayer is a vital means of grace to combat the indwelling sin in our lives. Satan trembles when he sees the weaker saint on his knees praying before the Lord, because that brings God's arm down, doesn't it, from heaven, and moves in situations. And so once again, our Bible series can be fitly summed up in the words of Romans 12:21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. It's absolutely vital that we overcome inbred sin, besetting sin in our lives, by good. And of course, we can only do that if we're a Christian. If he that who is good, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in our hearts. And so we have to employ those means of grace in our lives to cultivate those good things in our lives. And so we know from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:9-13, that our spiritual need far outweighs our physical need. In the Lord's Prayer, there's only one petition, isn't there? For our bodies. And all the other petitions are for our spirits. And that tells us a great thing, that we need, our spirits need far more feeding than our bodies, because they will last for eternity. And so, dearly beloved, it should not surprise you that the one area in a Christian's life that is under more attack than any other thing is, of course, the prayer life. That is the most under attack part of a Christian's life, I would say. That's under more attack than anything else. Why is this? Why is the prayer life under more attack than anything else? Well, I would say it's because the devil knows that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When a believer prays, like I said, that brings God down. That brings God's right hand down and moves in hearts and moves in situations, overcomes principalities and powers. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his or her knees, praying fervently to the Lord, sincerely to the Lord, in expectation to the Lord. And so don't be surprised, like I said, when you find yourself lethargic at times, because we have an enemy to our prayer life. And that's the devil, the flesh, and of course the world. Brethren, we must be a fervent praying people if we expect to combat indwelling sins, besetting sins within our lives. That sin within, that sin without, as it were. And so to assist today's study, I'd like us to consider the following 4 points. The following 4 points. Firstly, obstacles to prayer. There are many obstacles to prayer every day, which we need to realize. There are real obstacles. Secondly, consistency in prayer. Consistency in prayer. It says, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There must be consistency, fervor for prayer. Thirdly, sincerity in prayer. When we pray fervently for the Lord, earnestly living in expectation of our prayers, as if the Lord has answered our prayers already. That's how we need to pray. So thirdly, sincerity in prayer. And fourthly, humility in prayer. Humility in prayer, understanding what we are and the great access that we've been given to the Most High God. So fourthly, humility in prayer. So firstly, let us look at the obstacles to prayer. Since prayer brings you into fellowship with the Lord God, Satan will do his utmost to distract us and discourage us from it. Think about that. Satan, it brings us to fellowship with God, the Most High God. And so Satan, the world, and the flesh will do his utmost to try to stop that fellowship from happening. Little do we realize, don't we, that as a Christian soul, your prayer life is under attack every day. It's something which is real. There's a warfare going on. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 6, 8, that we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. As a Christian soldier, you must watch and guard and protect your prayer life zealously. For without it, you will be defeated. But with it, in the Spirit, you will have the victory. Remember, we have the old nature within us, don't we? And we all of us understand what the old nature wants. It doesn't want to be praying in the Spirit. It hates the things of the Spirit. And that's why often we can feel very lethargic. And we can feel like we don't want to pray. It's because the old nature, you see, it doesn't want to be praying in the Spirit. It doesn't want to be praying fervently. But the new nature needs to be fed. The new holy nature wants to be praying in the Spirit. And so we must understand that these are obstacles to our prayer. And so we must persevere. You see, what we often forget about every day is the old man within us, the old nature, does not want to pray. It is only the new holy nature upon conversion that wants to pray. And herein lies the problem, doesn't it? Because the old man is crucified with Christ, as it says in Romans 6. It's buried. It's dead. There's no spiritual life at all in the old nature. And so it opposes spiritual life. And so this dying body of sin, which will soon be destroyed, certainly does not want to be praying always in the Spirit. And so this must sink into us. That's why often we can find, after a hard day's work, or after a long day, we can find a heart to pray. Because the nature wants us to do everything else but pray in the Spirit, but commit the rest of the day as the Lord, and to keep on praying and asking the Lord for help. Do you know what the old man wants you to do? I know what the old nature wants me to do, because it's still inside of me. It's inside all of us, even as Christians. That's why the Apostle Paul says, "A wretched man I am." And so we must understand what the old nature wants us to do. The old nature will say, well, just switch on the TV, or just do something else, do some gardening, do this and that. Whatever you do, don't pray. You've had a long day. You don't have to pray. You're tired. And you see, the old nature does everything to try to put us off from praying to the Lord, from having that fellowship with the Lord, bringing God's arm down, and not only helping us, but also helping us to intercede for other people in our lives. And that's why when it comes to prayer, we can often feel, like I said, so lethargic. Because we're praying to a victorious King and Saviour when we have a defeated foe within us. And we're kind of rubbing the salt, as it were, in the wounds of this defeated foe. Now Satan, knowing this, makes, and if I can paint a picture for you now, Satan, as it were, makes a deal with our old inner foe, the old nature. If I distract him or her with obstacles from without, from distractions without, you, old nature, distract him from within. Make him feel tired and lethargic. Don't make him do anything but commit to prayer. And so before you know it, the flesh, the old man, and the devil has to work around tempting us with all sorts of distractions. They don't want us to pray like that. You're tired, you've had a long day. Or in the morning, perhaps. Now, don't worry about prayer. The Lord will understand. It's okay. And so, we take our ease. They take it with our ease. And before we realize what's happened, Satan begins to bring, of course, a host of other distractions and things in our lives because we've neglected prayer in our life. But then, of course, by God's grace and His favour, we realise what's happened. That person, Satan, who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning, we realise by God's grace, I've let the Lord down in prayer. I haven't committed myself to the Lord regularly. And so we see, really, that we've been conspired against. There's this warfare going on. And really, we're under attack here to take away our sweet communion with the Lord, from having that fellowship and that help from the Lord. Now, I hope you can understand that I'm just trying to paint a picture here for us concerning prayer of the real obstacles that lie from within and from without, from the flesh, the old nature, from the devil, as it were, who is real, and from the world, that threefold enemy. Satan, being the accuser of the brethren, will often tell us of our inadequacy of prayer. And he might say, well, you can't pray to God now, you've perhaps lost your temper. Or you should have prayed earlier. You weren't praying earlier, did you? You've missed that. And so the devil often make us feel inadequate. You can't pray to the Lord God with the thoughts that you've had today, with perhaps feeling angry or saying the wrong thing to the wrong person. You can't pray to God. And so you hold off from praying. I hold off from praying. He says, don't pray now. Pray until you're feeling better. Pray when you've reformed yourself. And friends, the devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. In those times where we're tempted by the devil to not pray because of our inadequacy, how we feel, that's when we need faith. We need to pray for faith, because it's not how we feel. If we were to pray how we feel, we would never pray, would we? We need to ask for faith and grace that we may understand that these are real obstacles in our lives, stopping us from fervently, regularly, and heartfeltly praying to the Lord. Why is it that we can be so reluctant to do everything else but pray? I'll do some cooking, I'll do some reading, I'll watch something, I'll do anything else but praying. It's because it must sink in that we have real spiritual enemies that understand that if we persevere in fervent, sincere prayer to the Lord, that will thwart the bad design and satanic mischief that they had for our lives. That must sink in that there is a design, there is an agenda against the believer. And this is a real battle. And often we forget this when we wake up every day. We're in a warfare. There's a battle going on here. There's a good, there's an evil, there's a light and there's a darkness. We're on the Lord's side or on the world's side. And we have to wake up to this every day. I must spend time with my Lord. Not just the scraps of my time. I need to repeat the time, spend proper, wholesome time with my Lord, committing many things to the Lord, many decisions, many burdens, and also pray for my brethren, pray for those in need, pray for those who are becoming cross. We need to be serious over these things. I urge you, therefore, beloved, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Be careful for nothing, but of everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so that now brings us fitly onto our second point for today's Bible study. And that is to have consistency in prayer. Consistency in prayer. If we expect to resist the devil, like with the study of God's Word, the same with studying God's Word, there must be a routine, heartfelt daily prayer in our lives, just like with the study of God's Word, which is a light and a lamp. The psalmist says in Psalm 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Every morning we see with Job, Abraham, Joshua, all the saints involved, there was this quiet time, this protecting, this regular start of the day. And I believe it's like a breakfast. You start the day with a wholesome serving of God's word. And then if possible, throughout the day, I sometimes have a very busy day and I have to pop out for 5-10 minutes on my lunch break and pray. Just so I can have that almost interval through the hecticness of the day. And then, of course, in the evening, it's so important, if we're not at the means of grace like we're here today, to commit that time, to have family devotional time, prayer time, husband and wife, families, prayer time and family devotional time with the Lord. It's so important to cultivate that in our lives. Consistent, pervading prayer shows our dependency upon God, doesn't it? That's what it does. We're walking by faith. I depend on Him. I no longer look into my own understanding, my own ways, or the world's systems, or my own better opinion of myself. I'm depending upon my God. I look to Him. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I must look to Him. I must depend upon Him. In all my decisions, and all the difficulties in life, I must bring these things before the mercy seat and know of that grace. And so consistent, prevailing prayer shows our dependence upon God. It brings God's almighty hand down, as it were, by faith, effectually overcoming besetting sins and evil, and even evil intended towards us in our lives. And it brings that good from above. And so the Lord Jesus Himself shows us this pattern of quiet time with Himself in Mark 1:35, where He says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before day, He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." And so, make sure, dear brethren, to start the day in a quiet, devotional time with the Lord. Undistracted time with the Lord. Spiritually, we need to spiritually equip ourselves, don't we? For that day, by God's grace, ensure and guard consistent prayer life throughout the day. If you expect to resist the wiles of the devil, the devil is like a roaring lion, doesn't he? He hides in the savanna grass, the very grass that the animals eat, as it were. And we need to be those who are consistently in prayer every day, having that set routine, that guarded routine, that nothing's going to move me by God's grace. I must spend this time in the morning. I must, if of course, I don't have other duties, responsibilities, put aside some time in the afternoon, wherever it is on my lunch break, to spend time, to commit that time, that interval with the Lord. And then, of course, in the evening, to have that time. Ensure in God a consistent prayer life throughout the day if we expect to resist the wiles of the devil. David says in Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Morning at noon will I pray. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. We see here, don't we, consistency in a believer's prayer life. We see here fervency, sincerity in a believer's prayer life. I will cry. There's heartfeltness here. Oh, what peace, as we sung earlier, we often forfeit, don't we? When we let prayer slip, our prayer life slip in our lives. God's word says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." Pray without ceasing. And so there must be consistency. We must ask the Lord for that grace, that faith, and that protection over our prayer lives, so that we may depend upon the Most High God and no other blessing in our life. Let nothing hinder you, dearly beloved, the fellowship, the sweet fellowship and blessing that the Lord is so willing to grant us, if we are to cultivate these things. These things will not save us, these things will not, these are not works, but these are cultivate These cultivate good things in our lives. These are blessings in our lives. If you want to be fruitful and be used of the Lord, you must take John 15:7 seriously, which reads, "If you abide in me," these are the words of the Lord Jesus, "and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." You see that? If you abide in me, you can ask me what you will. And we have an audience with the great Creator and Savior of the world, who sustains everything by His power. And we've got that audience, and we should run to that often. We should guard that time with the cross often. As the branch, as it were, depends upon the sap of the vine and the roots, we too need to depend upon the Lord and bring many petitions throughout the day. A grafted branch needs daily regular sap in order to grow, doesn't it? A Christian needs to daily employ prayer and the study of God's word by faith in order to grow thereby. Let us, by the mercies of God, take these truths to heart, that we may be doers of God's word by faith. Now, moving on to our third point for today's Bible study, and that is to have sincerity in prayer. Sincerity in prayer. For it is written in Matthew 11:24, "What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. The things here it's talking about, what things? The heavenly things. Are we desiring heavenly things? Are we bringing forth, "Your kingdom come, Lord. I'm living for your kingdom now." And so we must pray for heavenly graces, heavenly things, for the extension of God's kingdom, that we live in more and more every day. The things, we need to bring things, even practical things, before the Lord. And we need to do it believing. It says, believe that you receive them. Live it in expectation of your prayer. That is to walk by faith. It's that we live in expectation of our prayers. When we pray as if the Lord has already answered our prayers. I'll pray for that person. I'll pray when I see that person next, that the Lord will already answer my prayer. I believe it in my heart. And I believe that's God's will. Of course, our prayers need to be those that are conformed to God's word. That's why the two are hand in hand, God's word and prayer. And so when we pray, we always need to be conformed to His revealed will and His word. Pray believing, live in expectation of your prayers. You know, it does not matter how it sounds, does it? It doesn't matter how it sounds. You can be like Hannah, who was of a sorrowful spirit, because she could not conceive a child, could she? And yet she earnestly prayed and vowed that if the Lord would give her a child, she would give that child, Samuel, straight back to the Lord and dedicate it for the Lord's service. And the Lord answered her prayer. Why? Because it was bringing glory to His name. It was an unselfish prayer. It was praying to give it back to the Lord, as it were. And Samuel was mightily used of the Lord. The Lord answered Hannah's prayer. Do we pray for things that will bring us loss from time to time? Do we pray for things that perhaps may bring us loss? Sometimes we need to pray for hardship, but we need to pray for things that perhaps will go against us sometimes. You know, when we stand for the gospel, we might not be liked, we might be shouted down. People might, like we talked about this evening, about that dear brother in Newquay, in Standing, it may cost us. So do we pray for things that may even bring us loss? It may even bring us financial loss, loss of our reputation, loss of what people think of us. We must pray for heavenly things, no matter what it costs. And so, you can be like David, can't you? That without pretense, spent many times of prayer in tears, As he says in Psalm 6, verse 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Be reassured, dear beloved of the Lord Jesus, that heartfelt, sincere prayers to the Lord will be heard, if done with the eye of faith for his glory. Now take courage, brethren, that even our imperfect prayers are made right, if done sincerely and according to God's will. In other words, the Lord intercedes for our imperfect prayers, because all of us at times can be grieved, and we can have so many burdens upon our hearts and so many discouragements, but we praise the Lord that even our prayers are interceded for us. It says in Romans 8:26, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so this is a great blessing, isn't it? Just knowing that the Lord intercedes even for the weaker saints' prayers, even when we perhaps are backslidden and we pray for the Lord's escape and the Lord to help us in certain situations, the Lord intercedes even for our prayers, our groaning prayers, our complaints at times even, respectfully. The Lord can do that. And so tiredness and complacency can be another reason why our prayers may at times lack sincerity. And this can cause us to go on autopilot, as it were, can't it? Like many of the false religions and the hypocrites do. We can go on autopilot and just be repetitious and just come and think, well, I'll just say the same things that I'm used to saying, going over there. We can all suffer from that. And of which the Lord warns us about, doesn't he, in Matthew 6:7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. It's not the length of our prayers that counts, is it? Neither is it the eloquence of our prayers that counts to the Lord. It really is the substance of our prayers. It really is the heartfeltness of our prayers. Often, it can be the real, sometimes the real shortest prayers and the real heartfelt prayers. We cry to the Lord out of the situation and we can know of those prayers. It doesn't have to be a long, eloquent prayer. It just needs to be a heartfelt prayer unto the Lord, really meaning it, really believing in it. And if we are genuine and depend upon the Lord and know of God's love, we will believe in it. If we are sincere Bible-believing Christians, we will treasure time alone with our Maker, as it says in Matthew 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And so God hates prayers that are designed to make one look devout. And we see much of that in our many false religions. You know, if you've ever been to the Middle East and you hear them crying, as it were, from the towers, it's not about how devout it is. The Pharisees were doing that. Really, the majority of our prayer should be in private, in the closet, as it were, before the Lord, beseeching the Lord for grace and for help. And yes, we come, we love the time together as a body in the Lord Jesus, where we can bring our petitions corporately, and that's a blessed time. But most of our prayer should be done privately, in our closets, before the Lord, pouring out our heart before the Lord, pouring out our burdens, even respectfully our complaints at times, respectfully and in the Spirit, praying for God's grace and help. Let us, dear brethren, pray for grace to be more specific in our prayers as well. And we can all suffer from this and just go on autopilot. For we know that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Genuinely bring many practical requests, specific requests before the Lord. Go into detail about your prayer life in secret with the Lord. He does not tire of hearing your voice, hearing those specific things. It's like a little child continually bringing those things. Dad, please, Dad, can I have this? Okay, maybe. Please, Dad, maybe. Please, Dad, maybe. And on and on. And then one day, please, Dad, okay, yes. Okay, you've persisted, yes. It's a good thing. Oh, we will. We'll do that. We'll go for a nice long walk. We'll do this. And it's the same with the Lord. Be specific and fervent with the Lord. And that way you prove your faith that you depend upon Him. Genuinely bring many specific requests before the Lord. Even, and I mentioned this before, even respectfully put complaints can be put before the Lord. If they're made in the right spirit, sincerely, like David did in Psalm 142, verse 2, when he was in the cave and he was overwhelmed by the many troubles within him. Now, let's move on to our fourth and final point for today's study, and that is the need for humility in prayer. The need for humility in prayer. We know the parable of the Pharisee, don't we, and the publican, that the one, the Pharisee as it were, was self-righteous and proud and said, I tithe twice a week and I do all this, I pray this. I'm not like this publican who's standing afar off, as it were, and was trying to justify himself by his works. And yet you see the humble prayer of the publican, standing afar off, as it were, not even able to look up his eyes to heaven, smoting his hand upon his chest, saying, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And so the humility of prayer is absolutely essential for a believer. And we live in such a culture that is against that, isn't it? That we want to say, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. A culture which really just is just unthankful to the Lord. This casual, comfortable Christianity we see. It's all about me. It's all about what I want from the Lord. And when I don't get that, then I'm not going to speak to the Lord again. It's a selfish, outward Christianity. No inward humility towards the Lord. And we need to get away from that. The way we approach God in prayer, it matters. And yes, because we're justified in Christ, we can come boldly, can't we, to the throne of grace, to the mercy seat. We can, because we've got the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. So we can go boldly. But however, we do it with understanding, don't we? When we're saved, we understand what we are. We understand the pit from which we've been dug. We understand that we are so undeserving of God's love and mercy and grace. And so we come boldly because we believe in Christ, that perfect substitutionary death was for me, was for you. And we come boldly, we come up with understanding, knowing what we are and what we've been saved from with great humility. Let us therefore have this mind in us, brethren, for it is written in James 4:6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You see, worldly Christians and false religions love to make a show of prayer, don't they? Like the Lord teaches us in Matthew 6:5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Prayer, far more often than not, needs to be done privately towards the Lord, believing in the Lord. And that way, and only in that way, the Christian shows himself to the Lord in his utter humble dependence upon the Lord, when it's done privately, when no one else knows about it, really, in the context of outer. It's done privately. I depend upon the Lord. And therefore, the Christian shows himself to be genuine. And as the Lord says in Matthew 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. For when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And so with this principle in mind, when we pray, dearly beloved of the Lord, whether privately or corporately, let us not preach or teach or even bring arguments into prayers. The Lord can do without it, can't he? He can do without teaching. He can do without, and often, sometimes, as church has grown, and we see this in many circles, is that people can bring issues, arguments in prayer, and we need to ask to pray for grace. Prayer time is no time for discussions, for those things. Prayer time is a time where we're addressing the Most High God. It's not a time to argue in prayer or to teach in prayer. That's what the ministry is for. And there are times where we can lovingly and respectfully talk about serious issues and these things. We should never, ever allow those things to get into the fellowship and the communion with the Most High God. And I've seen it before in other fellowships, how sometimes that can creep in. And it's really such an unpleasant thing. A humble prayer will not only ask for specific graces to fit and represent Christ's kingdom, but also a humble prayer will be a thankful prayer. Do we come to prayer just asking the Lord, just asking for things, or do we come thankfully, thanking the Lord for the many blessings of it each day that we have? Just the freedom that we can gather together here today, and the many blessings that we have. A thankful spirit, a dependent spirit, a humble spirit. Let us pray the Lord can help us. You know, our society is ever trying to conform us to be selfish and to live for number one, live for self. And the Christian's got to be the opposite. We've got to be thankful and dependent upon our Lord and be humble. Is that a true mark of every born-again believer's prayer? Is that it is full of repentance. It is full of repentance. It says in John 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another. We must confess our faults before the Lord. If we're Christians, we will be daily repenting of our sins. Daily, it's not just repenting of perhaps a sinful thought or something. It's repenting of things which we know something is good, but we haven't done it. We know that we should have done something good, but we didn't do it. And sometimes if we know something is right, and yet our conscience is burning us to call someone or to do something, or whatever it is, we know something is right in our heart, but we're not doing it. We need to have that repentance in our heart, that earnestness with the Lord. The righteous cry, says David in Psalm 51, the righteous cry, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. This is a daily repentance David is talking about here. And so in conclusion, let us remember what a precious gift prayer is and to whom we pray to, that we may overcome the obstacles discussed earlier in prayer, that our prayer may be consistent and regular, depending upon our Lord, that it may be guarded, protected, and in that way we show that we value our fellowship with our Maker and our Heavenly Father. Let us ensure it's done sincerely from our hearts, as unto the Lord and not to men. And finally, let us pray fervently with understanding, in humility, and with great reverence to our great Redeemer and Lord God, that His name only may be hallowed in our lives, and that in the lives of others, and that we may know by faith answers to prayer. And may the